Wake up informed. It's Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on the Beacon.
Hudson Valley Focus Live on the Beacon. Rob Johnson here. But before I get to Rob, let me remind you, we're now well into the month of September, and you got those unsightly, drafty window air conditioning units you got to think about putting away before winter gets here. So never struggle with those window AC units again. Let DS Home Services install now a Whisper Quiet three-season mini split now through September 30th. A 9,000 BTU unit is only $4,899. How do you learn more? Visit dshomeservices.com, dshomeservices.com. You know, do yourself a favor. Check it out. This might be the year that you, you know, say goodbye to the unsightly window air conditioning unit and stop wrestling around and have the comfort of the Whisper Quiet three-season mini splits. More energy efficient as well. Good morning, Rob Johnson. Come right up to that mic, or you can pull that mic over to you. There you go.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
So how long did we decide to spend since you were here last?
Oh, my God. We were just talking about that. I felt like it was a couple of months, but it seems like probably 8 or 9 months ago, it seems.
Well, yeah, not quite that long. But
well, a child
April?
Could have been... No, it was January.
Was it really?
Yeah. A child could have been conceived and born in that time.
Wow.
Yeah. Sorry to think
about it. I didn't realize it had been that long.
I didn't either.
Yeah. It was a frozen tundra outside when I first saw the strike, so
okay.
That helps.
Okay. Whew. Let's slow it down then.
Yeah.
So, a couple stories in the news here. 9 corrections officers here at Fishkill had to be hospitalized the other day.
This is just at Fishkill alone. Yeah, 9 on one incident.
Yes.
Monday. That was just Monday. Yesterday was even worse at Fishkill. So, yeah, one officer was still in the hospital as of yesterday from that incident.
Has there been an investigation as to what it was, what took place, and
there's a lot of denial. That we have theories and ideas as to what it is and how it's getting in and things like that. It's Albany is so like blindfolded. They don't seem to care and even want to even bother being safe. Even the civilians are getting hurt now, and as well as other inmates that aren't involved. So
Are you at liberty? I mean, based on what I read in the paper, it said there was a possibility of fentanyl had made its way into the facility.
We think a majority of the stuff that's going on like this is fentanyl related. The hospitals aren't testing, which they should be. If
how can they not be testing?
It has to be requested, I think, as far as I understand, the person infected has to be, has to request to be tested for it. There's the medical field on that end of it is just as bad too. They don't follow through with certain things on the.
Well, if I or a family member of mine were hospitalized and there was any, I certainly would be demanding the adequate testing be done. How do you treat if you don't know what the heck you're dealing
exactly,
with?
Exactly, exactly. Because the symptoms go away usually within 24 to 48 hours, and then there's other instances like the officer that was still in the hospital as of yesterday.
So and you said something else happened yesterday as well in addition?
A lot yesterday. I was told there was more than 20 separate instances yesterday at Fishkill alone. They were so bad at one point they'd had not enough nursing staff to respond to all the incidents.
And this is both inmates and corrections officers or other civilians?
It was inmate related, most of it, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Different medical emergencies, they call them.
We have local representatives, assembly, and senate.
Yep.
Are they responsive?
The local guys? Absolutely. Beefin and Rollison, they've been phenomenal with us ever since the strike.
Okay.
I give them a lot of credit. There's a couple of new up-and-coming guys trying to be voted in, legislators and such, that they're promising. They're former corrections and medical staff and stuff like that. But a lot of the ones that are in office already need to be out. So we need new blood in there to actually do something about what's going on, because Albany is blind to it.
I was saying, Rob Johnson, I was saying before you came in, when I look back, it's practically 20 years that the Democrats have, and I have to call them out. If you've been at the helm for 20 years, And we have seen the budget statewide explode. We've seen services go down. We have huge areas across the state of New York, even as reported by New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli, that are healthcare deserts where people cannot even get access to healthcare on a day-to-day basis, especially women, OBGYN, pediatric care. To your point, the people who have been there are not protecting the citizens.
No, they're not. They're career politicians, and it's not good anymore. You need, I would say, you need term limits. And, you know, they've gotten to the point where it's just about them instead of the actual people. They forgot why they're in office.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've had now effectively one-party rule in New York since 2006.
Absolutely. And I wasn't trying to be one-sided about it, but the strike,
that's the fact.
It showed the Republicans were all about protecting us and looking out for us and trying to do the right thing. And
but you made the point before that it's not just the corrections officers, the injuries to inmate themselves over these policy changes that have been made, their injury rate to inmate on inmate injuries have skyrocketed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Civilian staff as well. The nurses. Yes. There was a nurse yesterday affected to the point where she ended up having seizures. It's not good. It's not safe for any of them, anybody that's in there. I've never seen it this bad, and I haven't been inside in almost 4 years.
And so let's back up to that, because you were a corrections officer.
Did my 25 years.
25 yes. years, and as you just said, you retired out of the system 4 years ago.
Thank God. Yep.
And it's been good that you, since you've retired out of the system, you still have, you know, friends in the system. Those in the system are reluctant or just don't want to speak out for fear of retaliation, I assume. And so it's good that you've been able to step up and be a voice for them.
Somebody's got to care for these guys. Some people just can't, like with the strike that happened, some people couldn't afford to be out.
Right.
I understand.
Oh, I understand,
you know,
that perfectly.
I mean, especially the southern tier here. It costs so much of living.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's unbelievable.
The and there were a number of positions where people did go out on strike, and you know, we know that technically that's illegal, mm-hmm. but when you're life is in danger and your cries for help go unanswered, what alternative do you have?
The guys that went out, I give kudos to the jails that started it up north when they started all this, because you got to defend yourself if even your own union is not going to defend you.
Yes.
The union officials that are in office since COVID hit have wasted, they've bled so much money out, they couldn't even afford to do this strike because they have to cover some of the expenses that happen. So they couldn't even acknowledge the strike.
Right. So there was a, this we're talking about the New York State Corrections Facilities across New York. And if I recall this, we have prior to this work stoppage earlier this year, there was already a staffing shortage. And that was one of the big complaints about mandated overtime, correct?
Correct. They're still running 12-hour shifts on most of the facilities.
And now the staffing situation is even worse.
Yeah. And that's with the National Guard being still inside.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, they're still there, and they're getting affected with all the stuff going on as well. We've seen local hospitals where they've rolled in and they've been, you know, whatever incidents has happened, they get affected too.
Statewide, I'm quoting from this article from the Mid-Hudson News a couple days ago, statewide security staff in New York prisons is down 31.8%, said Shumit Sharma, the association's director of policy and communication. In the last year, we have seen the overall staff vacancy rate rise from what was 13% to 13.3%, jumped 27% in 2025.
It's hard to.
I'm really at a loss for words when we see so not just the corrections, but just like I said, services for other individuals in their health and well-being, the state's policies that are driving up the cost of our energy, that are literally pricing people out of their homes or forcing businesses to close because they can't afford it. All of this is politically originated.
Absolutely.
All of it.
That's what happens when you give people the rule that they can control something they have no idea about. That's the same with the commissioner that's in office for corrections.
How so?
He's not really, he's all about cover his own self and not, he doesn't understand, he's forgotten where he came from, basically.
Wow.
And he doesn't understand what's going on in today's world. After the Defund the Police movement, it affects corrections as well.
Yes.
It hasn't stopped just because it's quiet in the news.
Yes.
With the strike that happened, media silence as far as all the big medias. The local stations, you guys have been phenomenal. All the local little shops, stations, the everybody locally has been phenomenal.
Somehow we have to ring the alarm and get people to wake up because this is a serious threat. When I had Bill on from the councilman from the town of Poughkeepsie, the arrogance of a town council that just wants to approve these great big battery storage facilities without adequate study for the safety and security of the residents if something happens.
Yeah.
It's all one and the same.
It is, absolutely. Totally agree with you.
Disregard, lack of respect for people.
They forgot why they're in office.
Yeah.
They really have.
So, Rob Johnson, let's get a quick break in. Let's get the sports report from the Zoles, and then we'll come back and tell us more about this and if you can suggest some ways that people can get involved to help the situation. Back in a minute on The Beacon.
Now, back to Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on The Beacon.
Hudson Valley Focus live at 7:49 on this Wednesday morning. Rob Johnson in, acting as spokesperson, a retired corrections officer from New York State Correction System, but talking about the now even bigger problems with the correction system than we were talking about earlier this year. Who was your counterpart who also came in with us beginning of the year?
That would be Dale Larson. He's a retired sergeant.
Okay. And, I really appreciate you guys coming out. And understand that you have an open invitation to be here because this is there are so many facets to this. Let's start with the safety and well-being of the inmates themselves, that they're there. But when those injuries are going up, there's profound impacts to them as individuals, us as taxpayers, the corrections officers, the medical staff, right across the board. It's a lose-lose-lose situation.
Absolutely.
Robbie?
Well, I was going to say, you don't even have to come in necessarily. All you got to do is call into our phone, and like if you had like a morning just to like, if you have something on your mind, you know, you're call in and we can talk about it. You know, this is a subject that I believe we've been covering since January, and we've enjoyed having you on the show talking about these important topics, and it just needs more than ever, especially right now with these two articles coming from Mid-Hudson News. I mean, we just need to spread this information wide.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Let me just add one. I'm going to say this one more time. When I just sit back and have the opportunity to talk to you, to talk to lots of other folks, this one theme that keeps coming back to me, it's an absolute disrespect for people, one human to another.
Absolutely.
Coming from a political class that is supposed to be, their number one role is to protect us.
They're claiming they're for the people, and they haven't shown it.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Robbie?
I mean, I will tell you, after I do my college assignments later today, I will be writing a letter to whom? I'm not sure yet, but I will be writing a letter to somebody talking about the subject, because we just need to get people to understand, at least acknowledge that there is a certain problem here. And the solution is not firing 2,000 correctional officers either. That is, that's just putting gasoline on the fire, mm-hmm. and saying that's a solution.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, that's one way of helping your cause. Is that, I don't want to say, is that the only way? But how can people get behind this problem?
You need to have more people get involved. You need to have the local community people who, I get, they're busy every day. They have their everyday lives. But at least write a letter. Call to your local person, you know, senator, legislator, whoever it is in office, especially upstate. The local ones here have been phenomenal with us. They're on the same you know, they got the same idea as us, and they understand that we need to be protected on the inside as well as on the outside. You know, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, crazy is just one way of putting it. It's just seeing, just reading these articles and, you know, hearing your real life anecdotes too. It just really, you know, sends me shivers down my core. I don't even know where to begin to really outline the true nature of this problem, just because it kind of coincides together with these instances that's happening with the fentanyl that's happening with the correctional officers, coupled with the fact that the vacancies are only increasing. And I thought the National Guard, I guess, left, for a lack of a better term. But no, with that being said, they're still there, and there's still close to 30% vacancies across.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they're not as trained as the officers that have gone through. They've since started going through the academy and learning, but they're still not learning the exact same amount of things that the officers do.
So imagine, too, the frustration of, and outside the correction, I'm talking about the law enforcement across the state, arresting individuals only to have them turned back out on the street, often the same day. And when you look at this, some of these individuals that have, you know, arrest records of 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 times, there's something wrong with that picture.
Absolutely.
And until the public wakes up and says, wait a minute, let's just clean house in Albany. And it really does have to. 2026 is a election year. It's going to be a big election year. We've got congressional races happening at the federal level. We have New York State governor's race, Senate, and the Assembly. And I don't know where the state Republican Party is. I guess they're in the witness protection program, because honest to God, it is an embarrassment to not have any coherent voice from, if there is even in fact still a Republican Party in New York. I'm at a loss to understand that.
There is. I've even got friends out of state, out west and stuff, that have claimed, they're like, how can you be Republican in a Democrat state? I said, there's a lot more of us that are hidden than you realize.
But where's the leadership, is what I'm saying. Yeah, where's the leadership?
The absolute leadership probably right. isn't there. Too.
They should be there on, showing up in the TV studios of every or radio studios, TV studios, newspaper outlets around this state, demanding real change and holding these people accountable.
Yeah, it doesn't help, though, that the big media is in the pockets of the governor and things like that, too. If you notice the media silence from the big media.
Yeah, and this is what's ridiculous, Rob. The media themselves are dying on the vine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Their listeners, their viewers, their own employees are all in the same boat. And I sat here, I was listening to both you and Robbie, and I was thinking to myself, you know, we have a voice of some form here. The individual who is aware of this and doesn't have access to an outlet, the feeling of powerlessness is
exactly
very frustrating.
I've gotten told, why do you still bother? I care. I'm passionate about it. You're retired. You're not supposed to worry about it anymore. It's something I believe in. I've lived it for 25 years, you know, as far as the corrections. And it goes right out into the public thing. I care
and
about
this
the
is,
local
this is, and this is no different, though, than to be the person who shows up to serve on the volunteer rescue squad or the fire company or something. Why do you do it? Well, because of the fact that we're here to help take care of each other.
Of course. And that's why I did that, too.
Yeah.
So, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Robbie, your other thoughts over there.
I mean,
this is something that you've been passionate about. This maybe not as outspoken as I've been, but you were the one who came back to me at the beginning of the year and said, hey, you know, these guys are down the road. What can we do to give them a voice?
I mean, yeah. I mean, literally, as I was getting gas from the gas station down here, I saw a bunch of great people just picketing for probably 3 days at that time. It's like, okay, I got to, like, go up and just say something to mm-hmm. these people. And First, like, they were just the nicest people. For such a chilly day, they were so warm and kind, and they, you know, did everything they could to, like, help me in that circumstance, like telling me who to talk to, and then they referred me to you, Rob. And, you know, you talked about it before, Tom. Like, these are people. These are, like, let's forget about the titles and the labels and, you know, these dirty jobs that people just forget exist. Like, people have to do them, certainly. And, of course, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, it's not more of a luxurious job than most other things, but it's a job that has to be fulfilled. And it's the toughest, most kindest people that do it. And we just have to advocate for them as much as we can, just the same as police officers in the town and firefighters. Like, they're just in a different section of the world, yes, but they are just as important.
All important.
I would say a little more so, because they're willing to put their life on the line for the everyday person they don't even know.
Right.
You know?
I mean, yeah, working overtime, putting in hours and hours, missing out on family time, and still just day in and day out, just clocking in. Like,
they're still a part of your community. They're still the person that's your neighbor, that is your volunteer firefighter, that is your ball coach. You know, they're part of your community as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like that's definitely worth standing up for, in my opinion.
So we have a minute or so until we go out to the break. Rob Johnson, it still is worth it for people to call their legislators, county, state assembly, and senators, and ask them, what the heck are you doing here?
Absolutely. Make your voice heard a little bit. Write a letter. Don't be nasty. It's not about violence or nothing like that. It's all about making your voice heard. Be the voice, and be a Charlie Kirk. You know, it's just be somebody. Stick up for the little guy. Just acknowledge that you're defending, or that you appreciate the persons that are putting their lives on the line as well, especially.
So, yeah, I'm I've been listening to what you're both saying, I was scrolling back through the calendar, and I think you and I had the first conversation on February 27th.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Rob Johnson, spokespersons for the corrections officers, thanks for being with us on Hudson Valley Focus Live, and we'll keep in touch. Listeners, meet us back here in a minute after these news, traffic, weather updates on The Beacon.